Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, there's an expression that I know you've heard of. It's called good things come to those who wait. And I am giving you living proof today that that is true. You see, because we've reached deep into our goodie bag of speakers, wholesalers, and we have someone whose book right now is appearing on the New York Times bestseller list. If you happen to have been, well, I don't know, if you're a Manhattan wholesaler walking by a Borders bookstore and looked up at that big banner of a book that happens to be our guest's, well, that's living proof that she is a superstar. Sally Hogshead believes that the greatest value you can add is to become more of yourself. World-class branding expert that she is, she has discovered a new way to measure how people perceive your communication, to find out what makes you intensely valuable to others so the world sees you at your best. She's the creator of the Fascination Advantage, the world's first personality test that measures what makes someone most engaging to others. Now, this isn't like Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinders. This test is not about how you see the world. It's how the world sees you. And it's backed up by a decade of research, 250,000 participants, dozens of Fortune 500 teams, small businesses, over 1,000 C-level executives, all have taken the Fascination Assessment. And the Fascination Advantage work has helped over 250,000 participants discover their natural advantage of persuasion. And we are deeply delighted to welcome Sally Hogshead to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Sally, welcome.
Oh, Rob, thank you. I'm so glad. Good things come to those who wait. I'm delighted to be able to be here today and to be talking to you about how to become more fascinating no matter what you're selling.
So cool. So let's talk about this. We got to get the definition straight because, you know, the audience might be sitting out there scratching their head going, what does she mean by fascination? Tell us about that, please.
You know that feeling, Rob, when you're in a conversation with somebody and you're so focused on what they're saying that you're not thinking about what time it is and you're not thinking about your next meeting. You're not thinking about all those messages that are loading into your iPhone. And you're so focused on what they're saying that you kind of lose track of what's going on around you. This is the neurological state of fascination. When you're fascinated, you're intensely focused. Now, here's what happens when you're talking to a client or you're talking to a coworker and you fascinate them. When they become completely focused on you, their barriers drop away. They stop being confused. They stop doubting. They stop thinking about what they're going to be feeding their kids for dinner, and instead they're just focused on you. So if you're selling something that could be perceived as a commodity, it becomes incredibly important for you to understand how is your personality most likely to create this immediate form of connection so that you can be heard and so that you can be remembered.
You know, it's so interesting. Everything you said there was interesting. And the thing that came off the page for me, wholesalers, was when Sally talked about it being a neurological, I use the word phenomenon. So this isn't not that I would ever say that anything in this tome of 409 pages is snake oil. It's not. It's phenomenal. But this is science-based. And that's what makes it, well, fascinating to me, Sally. That's quite interesting. I don't know how else to phrase it. It was an aha moment for me.
You know, it was an aha moment for me, too. When I first started studying this about a decade ago, I actually wasn't studying anything called fascination. I was just studying why do we pay attention to certain people and certain products. And as I was looking into attention spans and trying to understand why certain products seem to leap off the shelves and other ones die, I stumbled across this word fascinare. And the word fascinare is ancient Latin. It's thousands of years old. It's one of the earliest words in written language. And the word fascinare, it was how the ancient Romans described the evil force that made people distracted, causing them to cheat, causing them to go away, causing them to, if a sheep would lead the herd, they wanted to prevent against that. And so they developed this concept of fascinare to captivate, to hold tight, to bind somebody to you. So when you fascinate somebody, the original word means to spellbind, to bewitch, to hold captive. So to prevent someone from cheating or to prevent someone from going away, to talking to another customer, to becoming distracted during the conversation, if you fascinate them, you hold them close, you spellbind them. And as I looked into neurology and biological anthropology and economics, what I found is this concept is incredibly rich. And we've forgotten about this in the 20th 20th and 21st century because we've become so focused on sales and marketing that we've lost our ability to connect with that neurological focus that is why people buy, why they refer, why they pay more money, why they stay loyal.
Wholesalers, I defy you, no disrespect intended, but we know each other. I defy you to tell me that an advisor, upon you leaving their office, described you to a colleague as fascinating or spellbinding. As a matter of fact, if anybody out there has been described as fascinating or spellbinding, again, no offense intended, send me an email. If you send me an email telling me and tell me the story of how you were spellbinding or fascinating, I'm going to send you one of Sally's books because you know what? She sent me two. So I have one. I only have one, but there's the offer. I figured that was a good place to throw that in, Sally.
I know. I love that idea. But here's what we're going to find out, Rob. As you and I talk, we're going to find out that any personality is fascinating. It doesn't matter if you tend to be a quieter personality, more reflective, more quietly skillful. You're just as fascinating as somebody who's charismatic and buoyant and social. Every personality can become intensely fascinating to their prospects, to their advisor, to their client, to their coworkers, to their family, if they understand the qualities in their personality that allows them to create that intense emotional focus.
And that's such an important correction, if you will. And I'll take it in the spirit that it was an important correction to me because it doesn't dismiss any personality type. You're inviting all personality types to become fascinating. Is that right?
Right. Any personality type can be intensely fascinating in the right context. Here's the deal. Your personality has certain advantages. And if you understand what those advantages are, it becomes very easy for you to apply them, almost like a tool that you have that other people don't have. For example, some people are extremely detail-oriented. They're great with lists. They see things in a logical and linear way, almost like chess players. They're able to build a process, put one piece right after the other, and to see with crystal clarity how the whole scene is going to play out systematically. I'm not like that. I tend to be a much more creative thinker. So for me, if I'm in a situation in which I have to be intensely detail-oriented, I have a disadvantage. I am not likely to exceed my client's expectations. In fact, I'm probably going to become exhausted and frustrated. On the other hand, let's say if I were a wholesaler and I'm working with an advisor and they're feeling stuck and they want somebody to come in and give them a fresh perspective to be able to reinterpret the market, to use technology in a fresh way or to reinvent what's happening in their business, I'd have a huge advantage. And I'd have an advantage over somebody else who tends to be detail-oriented because in that case, my advantage becomes intensely valuable. So if you imagine there are two people, two different wholesalers. One of them is very detail-oriented, and for them, it gives them energy to focus on lists and spreadsheets. And then you have a communicator like me who tends to be more relationship-based, much more curious. I like discovery. I don't like to do the same thing over and over again, but I'm very good at helping people see new possibilities. We have different contexts in which we'll succeed. We have different advisors that we'll be most likely to appeal to. We may even have success with different types of products or services, different employers, different coworkers, different team structures. And if we don't understand that natural advantage that we have, we might start thinking that we're interchangeable with each other. And the danger of that is that if I start to think that I should be doing details, I'm going to become demoralized in my work, I'm not going to be able to raise my fees, and I'm going to become a commodity because that's simply not how I'm primed to succeed. On the other hand, if I'm really clear that the way I'm most likely to add value to my advisor, to my clients, to my prospects, is to double down on that creativity and to make sure that I'm a relationship-based communicator, that I don't sell myself on the basis of details, people are going to see me for what I already do at my desk, and they're going to pay more money for it because I'm going to have a distinct and memorable place in the market. And this is how I created the Fascination Advantage Assessment, to measure that, to actually measure step-by-step with an algorithm, what do people value in you when you're being your best, what you naturally do differently than other people so that you can hone in on those areas and build your marketing, build your sales, build all of your communication around that core personality advantage.
You know, wholesalers, I'm listening to Sally speak, and, you know, there's this notion that she mentioned of teams, and we, of course, are not in a position to be hiring our teams, but we certainly have teams that we work with, be it our scheduler or our internal wholesaler, most importantly, perhaps an administrative person. And it seems to me that if you better understand the attributes of their personality via the fascination assessment, you'll then be able to understand a little bit more about how to play upon the strengths of that person on your team. So you'll hear a little bit more at the end about how we're going to make those assessments available to you.
I love that.
Yeah,
totally.
because I mean, it's
so important.
Well, we do make a mistake. We make the mistake of saying that, you know, my internal wholesaler, that's my partner, that's the person that works on the inside supporting me on the outside. We make the mistake of thinking they should be cut in my cloth. They should become the mini me. They should have the attributes that I have. And in some cases, from a mentoring standpoint, that could be very valuable and probably is valuable to an extent. But also, how are we leveraging them for their unique strengths? And that's what I hear you speaking about so succinctly.
Yes, that's an excellent point. When we go in and we do training with large corporations or small businesses, here's what we find over and over again. There's a fallacy, a myth within teams. And the myth is that you should focus on your strengths. The problem is that when people focus on their strengths, it becomes competitive and everybody's trying to outdo each other by using the exact same traits. And so the team becomes imbalanced. Instead of focusing on strengths, focus on differences. What are the differences among your team? In what ways are people not similar so that each person is contributing something different so the team can be balanced? And in successful teams, there are always a few people that rise to the top because they're able to deliver better results. And here's what we've seen in our research of now almost 250,000 professionals. We found the high performers do one thing very differently. They have a personality specialty. In other words, they're not trying to be all things to all people. They're not trying to do everything equally well. Instead, they're focusing in on those areas that they can naturally deliver and over-deliver. So, for example, let's say somebody's naturally a great team builder. And for them, when they're communicating with their team, it's really easy for them to get people rallied and focused and to nurture new talent that's coming in. And then there's somebody else on the team that is not a nurturer, not a team builder naturally. Instead, they're very analytical and they like to solve problems intellectually. They like to go back into the data and find concrete, tangible answers. Well, one of those ways of interacting is not necessarily better than the other, the nurturing team builder versus the analytical problem solver. But there is the team is going to be better if they understand how can each person rise to their highest potential, not by being the same, but by being different. Let the team builder build teams. Let the analytical problem solver solve problems. And it makes it much easier to allocate tasks. And this is when people use the Fascination Advantage Assessment as a hiring tool. We've seen there's a financial advisory firm in Virginia Beach that their retention rate skyrocketed and their sales increased by 50% because they were getting the right people in the right seats simply by identifying their natural advantages when they came through the door.
There's so much to talk about, and as our wholesalers know, our shows are intentionally short because they have such precious little time. But I want to drill in on some other avenues that are keenly interesting. You talk about a dormant advantage. What is that about?
I'll do a quick overview. There are 7 different potential advantages. Think of these almost like 7 different modes of communication, almost like a set of golf clubs. And each advantage has a certain specialty. We talked a moment about details. The alert advantage is having an advantage when it comes to details. That's the language of details. In other words, they see things through the lens of details, and that's how other people see them at their best. On the other hand, there's a passion advantage. The passion advantages are all about relationship, being able to build bonds quickly. I have a primary passion advantage. There are 5 other advantages. Power is the language of confidence. Prestige is the language of excellence and overachieving. Trust is the language of stability. Mystique is the language of listening, substantive problem solving. And innovation is the language of creativity. We find that for example, we went into Wells Fargo. We studied 4 different groups within Wells Fargo, and overwhelmingly, they scored high on 2 advantages. The prestige advantage, which is about excellence, over-delivering, prestige personalities tend to be best in class. They're skillful, they're polished, they're overachievers. And the second advantage they scored overwhelmingly high on was trust. And, of course, that makes sense. You know, they're dealing with clients at a very high level. They are they're most successful in situations in which they can achieve a replicable outcome. But when you take that personality and you put it into a different type of scenario, they're not necessarily going to have an advantage. And so your top two advantages are the ones that are most important to focus on. But you also need to know your dormant. Your dormant is the one for which you score least. For example, if you have a dormant passion advantage, it means you're uncomfortable in situations in which you have to connect quickly, like a cocktail party. You don't want to make small talk. You don't want to hug the stranger. You don't want to make chit-chat. You really just kind of want to intellectually focus in. If you have a dormant trust advantage, like me, it means that you're uncomfortable with things that are repetitious. You don't like patterns. You don't want to do the same thing over and over again. Instead, you want to invent. You want to change. You want to try something new. When you know your dormant advantage, it becomes really easy for you to see those areas of your career where you're quickly exhausted because it's just not how you're primed to succeed.
That was just a chock full of goodness descriptor, and then you added that couple of sentences at the end where if we're focusing on stuff where our strengths don't lie or where our primary advantages don't lie, we'll get, I'm extrapolating from what you said, we'll get tired, we'll get burnt out, it becomes too painstaking. Am I right in that?
You are. There are two different modes of working. There's a wellspring and there's quicksand. What would you say, Rob, is a place in your work where it feels energizing to you and you get really motivated and you feel naturally focused and you look forward to getting up and doing these types of tasks or assignments?
Yeah, when I'm being creative, doing shows like this and coaching my clients, being in front of audiences, that's the buzz.
Yeah, so when you go on stage, you know that feeling like I do. We're both professional speakers. You know when you've had a great connection with the audience, you come off stage and you're actually more energized, even though you've just worked really, really hard for an hour?
Yes.
And that's a wellspring. And when you go for those wellsprings in your career, it gives you energy. You're more likely to over-deliver. You're more likely to have a natural advantage that you can leverage. And this is how we scale our careers. And when people see us at our best, they become much more impressed and interested. On the other hand, there are other areas of your career or your day-to-day life that are probably exhausting for you. What for you would be an example, Rob, of something that you just dreaded?
Oh, if it's too deep in the minutia weeds, and I mean really deep in, I'm okay with detail, but if it gets really deep in the detail weeds, I just start to cringe and procrastinate.
Yeah. Now, you and I both have the same dormant advantage. Both of us, it's not that we can't do details. Of course we can if we have to. It's going to be very expensive in terms of our personal resources. And we shouldn't build our career on that because it's not the best and highest use of our time and our talents. On the other hand, your archetype is the change agent. Am I right?
It is.
Okay, great. Well, and I know that because I had the opportunity to do a little bit of research before we started. A change agent is somebody who is naturally able to come in and see the big picture and to see how you can improve things by moving forward. I love change agents. They're inventive. They're self-propelled. Think of a personality like somebody who has the creativity of an entrepreneur, a big entrepreneur, but also that confidence and authority and expertise of power. So the best and highest use of your personal advantages would not be for you to come and micromanage the Excel document. It's for you to be able to come in and see the big picture and say, how can we be getting a better result here by doing something a little bit differently?
By the way, wholesalers, like yourself, I've done a whole host of assessments in my day, and not just because we have Sally on the phone, but she's here, and I'm going to tell you, This was dead on in terms of how it evaluated how I view myself and where I view my strengths to be and where I view my passion to be, et cetera. So bravo, Sally. Let's get two more questions in before the shot clock hits us because they're really important to our wholesalers. What's the biggest mistake people make when introducing themselves? Because Lord knows wholesalers are introducing themselves every day a lot.
The biggest mistake is to not add value within the first few moments of an interaction. When you first meet somebody, you have this golden window of opportunity that you have their full attention before they get distracted. And if you can think ahead in that conversation, think to yourself, what is their problem for which I am the perfect solution? In other words, what are the needs, the challenges, the obstacles, or the potentially missed opportunities that your listener has for which you can deliver the perfect solution? If you keep focused on that, you will deliver value every single time.
Now, this is probably a kissing cousin to that question, but I also want to know, what am I going to do better in my next business meeting to make a more solid impression?
Oh, well, I love that question. And to answer your question, I'm opening up my book. I have a copy of this new book, How the World Sees You, that is so thumbed and soft cover and all ripped apart. I'm going to give you an example from my work with over 50,000 financial advisors and people in the industry, dealing with everything from million-dollar roundtable to AICPA and insurance. But the problem is, when you're selling a commodity, you have to become the differentiator. So if your advisor or your client or your prospect could get something of equal value somewhere else, then you have to be the reason why they're going with you versus somebody else. And on page 370 of the book, I describe two different financial advisors who are introducing themselves to a prospect. One of them goes in and has kind of a canned script. He has all the brochures. He has all the information. Kind of says the right thing, but he doesn't create a feeling of authentic connection with the listener, with Mr. and Mrs. Martin, who are a recent empty nesters and looking for somebody with whom to invest. It's very similar than going into a situation with an advisor themselves, that you have to be able to compete immediately in those first few seconds. So imagine the first person comes in and says, and kind of follows the routine exactly the way they were trained. But then the next person comes in and they understand exactly how they're most likely to be perceived at their highest value, and so they're able to add value effortlessly. And let's say that person is you, Rob. Let's say that person is coming in and their archetype name is the change agent, and they're inventive and untraditional. Instead of going in and following a verbatim script that feels forced and awkward or that feels like a sales patter, you would go in and you would know ahead of time that there's one thing you deliver in this meeting with the advisor. The one thing you need to do is you need to make sure that you deliver creativity and confidence. And if you go in there and you deliver creativity and confidence, you will have the highest likelihood of closing that deal, sustaining the relationship, getting the referral, and keeping their business.
Wholesalers, you know, what Sally just referenced to, this whole notion of, you know, establishing that thing that is different from others, in addition to what Sally spoke about, you know, we talk all the time about PVP, peerless value proposition. What do you do that no one else can do? And if anyone does it, they don't do it as well as you. This is, as I say again, a kissing cousin to exactly what Sally is speaking about. And to take her assessment is to understand partially how you can leverage up that inside of your PVP. So speaking of the assessment, Sally has graciously given us more than a handful, I believe it measures in the hundreds, assessments. So if you want to jump out to the website, that is our website at Wholesaler Masterminds, we will post up in our show notes the link out to the assessments, and she will give you this valuable ACE assessment at no cost. Is that right, Sally?
It is. For a limited amount of time while we're celebrating the launch of the book, normally the assessment is $37 each. And like I said, we've had almost 500,000 people do the assessment. But as our gift to your listeners, to the wholesalers, for a limited amount of time, the next couple of weeks, this will be available at no cost.
Wholesalers, we always try to bring you the best of the best of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio, and today we've certainly gone overboard with the best. Sally, thank you for joining us, Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Rob, thank you. What a pleasure. I'm so happy to talk with you, and I'm grateful for all the work that you do in the world, not only for the wholesalers, but also in our speaking industry and being a real thought leader in what we're doing.
Very generous of you to say that. I certainly appreciate it. Wholesalers, come back next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.